this should be good. They left a seat for the Lord. I want to wish you all a happy Father's Day. And it's a joy. It's amazing. Somebody asked me if I could do anything in the world, what would I want to do? And my answer would have been, I want to be a dad. Seriously. One day, a long time ago, and I had the blessing of having two of my kids there and my youngest grandson and with us. And I think my father is actually watching this through video live web stream. He was going to be here with us this morning, but he is facing a pretty rough battle of cancer right now and just the chemo and just was unable to make it. So just join me in just praying God's grace and blessing upon him and my mom today. Amen? One of the things many years ago, I don't even remember what movie we were going to, but my son and I, we were going to a movie, and I think he was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And he goes, you know, Dad, we're holding hands, we're walking to a movie theater, and he says, one day, I want to be a dad too. But I don't want a wife. And I was like, why? Well, it'd be really, really cool to be a dad and have something to do fun with, but a wife, that'd be a lot of work. I don't know if it's a lot of work every day. But one second, this is too low.
I'm short, but not that short. And I'm blind, so I need my notes closer. Thanks.
But anyways, I want to say that, you know, as men, as fathers, as people, we are examples. Whether you want to be or not, you are one. It's just, what kind are you? And the message I want to talk to you today, I want to focus on a couple things. One, biological fathers and spiritual fathers. But I love how the Word of God says to as many that believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God or sons of God. And that's not a gender statement. That means every female in this room is a son of God. And so I want to encourage you, even as moms, that these principles in the Word of God are amazing for fathers and mothers. But they're also amazing for us in the body of Christ when it comes to our responsibility to be spiritual parents of generations below us. You see, if you were God, you could choose to be called anything you wanted to be called, whatever. For some reason, our God chose to be called Father. It was his idea. It wasn't ours. And if you think of the Trinity, he could have called it anything he wanted, but he chose to call Jesus his son. The kingdom of God is a family business. I really believe in the weeks, months, and years to come, the reality of the importance of us being spiritual fathers and mothers is going to be so in front of us that we cannot get around it. Will we have classes for discipleship? Yes. Will we have events and conferences? Yes. Will we have Sunday mornings? Maybe. Some countries you're not allowed to. But the point is, if you didn't have any of that, but you had men and women who loved God, who understood Paul's relationship with Timothy, and Paul's word to Timothy to take other faithful men who can teach other faithful men. If you understood Paul's words where he said, older women, mentor younger women. The reality is, the kingdom of God would continue to expand and continue to grow until the glory of the Lord filled the earth. If there were no buildings to meet in, if there were no classes. Now, I'm not knocking the building in classes, but what I am saying is our responsibility as fathers and mothers and mentors is so important. Jesus didn't choose 12 men to put them in a classroom or send them off to Jesus University number one to get their credentials. It's really interesting. He had a bunch of people following, and he made this statement. One night, alone, he prayed all night. And guess what he was doing? He was talking to his dad. Because when he came off that mountain, it said, that day he chose 12 men that they might be with him and that he might send them out. One of the most amazing things about being a parent is they're with you. One of the most challenging things as a parent is they're with you. I want to make this statement this morning right up front. We can learn from our fathers even when they make mistakes. You see, you don't just learn lessons from when people get it right. You learn lessons when people get it wrong. This is a challenging season for me. One, my spiritual father is no longer here, and I really, really miss him a lot. And those of you who know me really well know how much I miss him. I never actually felt like he was a boss. I always felt like he was a dad, and I was a son. And my dad's been battling cancer for like 5 years, and he made a statement about 5 years ago that his get up and go went up and left. And this time, it's really rough. And the reality is, God only knows the number of our days, and there will be a day where my earthly father will not be with me. But I want to say this. One of the reasons I invited my father to come today was this. We have had some amazing men of God pass away in the last few months. And I have sat here in memorials, and I've heard wives and children and friends talk about how amazing Bill Medhurst was and how amazing Eric was. And I was thinking, you know, maybe we ought to get in a habit of telling these people this stuff before they die. So, Dad, if you are watching this, no regrets, zero, none. None. He was and is my best friend. He was my best man in my wedding. And beyond that, I really didn't even care who was in it. My wife had to pick the other guys to match up the girls she wanted. No lie, we were getting ready the other morning for work, trying to remember who were the other guys in my wedding. I remember my dad meeting me at the airport, and I was in my dress whites, navy, because I just got out of my first school after boot camp, and I didn't have a civilian clothes chit, so I had to be in uniform all the time. I'm not sure what they do now, but that was what they did then. Well, you know, in Michigan, there's not many naval bases, like zero, I think, other than a recruiting office to send you to like a place like here. But they had the rehearsal dinner before the rehearsal because I couldn't get there in time. And I remember standing before the pastor, and he says, so what do you want? I said, whatever she wants. You tell me where to stand and when to say it. Just make sure my dad's standing beside me. I want to share with you some biblical principles that as we grow in them, our influence is more impacting. Do you realize you cannot change anything that has happened prior to this moment? All you can do is refocus. You know, the Word of God says that people perish for lack of a vision, no target. They don't know what The goal is, and I've shared this before, but years ago, I was thinking about this whole thing about being a dad. And I was thinking, I really want to be a good dad. How do I know if I hit the mark? And I wrote in my journal way back then a vision statement for being a dad. And it was real simple. When my kids are 18 and older, and they don't have to come to my house, and they want to, I won. I hit the mark. I knew I'd make mistakes. I still do. I'd say stuff I shouldn't. I wouldn't say stuff I should. I knew there'd be times all the time that I would miss things. But I knew what that goal was. And I encourage parents all the time when they come to me, because I've had the privilege of mentoring youth for like 20 years. And every now and then, I don't know if you know this, but there can be a conflict between a teen and a parent. Just seems to happen. My granddaughter now is 13, and my daughter's like, how did you do this? You know? It's challenging. It's not easy. And so when you're looking at it, I want to say this. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you have children who are still alive, and someone says, you know, well, you're not a very good dad. Well, I got good news for you. You're not done yet. Okay? You're not done yet. And if somebody looks at you and says, you know, you're not a very good spiritual father or spiritual mother, well, do you have any people in your life still? You're not done yet. You're not done yet. You see, a lot of people start well, and they end horrible. If I had to choose, I'd start poorly and want to end well, and not end poorly. So I was looking at this, and I was thinking, I have two portions of Scripture that are key when it comes to me being a spiritual father and a biological father. And it says this. It's found in the book of Micah. It says, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. Do what is right. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. What does that mean to me as a dad? Do what's right. And when you get it wrong, walk humbly before your God and your family and admit it. I remember saying a long time ago, a few months ago, that I have friends who will tell me, who are unchurched, who'll say, you know what? I don't go to church because church is full of hypocrisy. I said, the whole world is, we all are. Is there nothing in your life that you aspire to be that you haven't reached yet, you hypocrite? I said, you know what the problem is? It's not our hypocrisy in this church or church in general. It's our inability to admit it, especially to those who don't know Christ. And even harder sometimes to admit it to our kids. Like, hey, Dad really got this one wrong. You know, the Lord really convicted me. I'm really sorry. Forgive me. It's okay. See, because if you can't walk humbly before people, it's impossible to walk humbly before God. Because the Word of God says, how can you love God if you don't love people you can see and you can't see God? And I would say, how can you walk humbly before your God who you can't see if you can't walk humbly before people you can? Love mercy. Mercy. How many of you here today, if you had a choice, the mercy of God or the judgment of God, Which one would you pick? It's not a difficult decision. Then let me ask you this question. If God the Father, who is perfect, chooses to give you and I mercy instead of judgment, then when your son or daughter messes up, which would you choose to give them? Mercy or judgment? If God chooses to give you mercy instead of judgment, he must think that plan works. Because that's his plan. But I've sat with parents saying, well, that just won't work. I got to tell them this, 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 and this. How many of you love to have those quiet times where God just lists all your sins and tells you everything you're doing wrong? Well, if those are your quiet times, come talk with me. I'm going to take you in the whisper room. We're going to spend an hour in there. We're going to listen to one worship song. We're going to make the room silent. You're going to open up a journal. I'm going to say, okay, now you write down everything God says he likes about you. You know, we have a saying in this church when it comes to the prophetic. It's really easy to see the dirt, but a real man or woman of God can see the gold inside that dirt. Well, let's take it home. Any father can see the dirt in his children's lives. Any pastor or spiritual mentor or spiritual father can see the mess in people's lives. But a real godly father and a real godly mentor is a guy who can see the gold inside of those people. When was the last time you told a bunch of people what it was that was amazing about them? You know, every once in a while we have a youth meeting, and they're my favorite ones. And I will pick one student in the student ministries and let every single other student say what it is about that student that they value and appreciate. Do you know how many young people hate hearing that? They love it all the time. You know Song of Songs? I call myself dark, but he calls me lovely. It says, walk humbly, love mercy. My second verse, very similar, Lamentations chapter 3. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Let me reword it. The faithful love of a parent never ends. The parent's mercies never cease. Great is a parent's faithfulness. The parents' mercies begin afresh each morning. You want to be a great mentor, spiritual father, spiritual mother? You want to be a great dad, a great mom? Every morning, wake up and give your sons and daughters a clean sheet where mercies start fresh every single morning. You know, we have a saying, right? Not by works which we have done, right? But according to his mercy, he has saved us, right? That we have been justified just as if we've never sinned. That's how God sees us. How many of us have children who actually believe in Christ? And we know our Heavenly Father sees us through Christ as righteous. Then if our Father in heaven sees our earthly kids who are in Christ as righteous, then how should we see them? As righteous. Correct? Jesus' revelation was this: I pray to the Father that my disciples would understand that you love them just as much as you love me. Can you even fathom how much the Father loved Jesus? How much? Can you even fathom how much Jesus loved the Father? There's your example. I don't know how to be a good dad. Jesus said, you know what? If you want to know what the Father's like, just watch me. Read everything you can about Jesus, and that's how you be a great parent. But guess what? If you don't think the Father sees you that way, you will never treat your kids that way. I remember, and we've talked about this before in the service, after I went on my sabbatical and came back from my encounter, when I preached a message on people are more important than programs, and I was having coffee with my son, and he's kind of staring at me. We were at Starbucks in Battlefield, and he looked at me, he made this comment. He said, I'm looking at him like, hey, what's up, dude? He says, you know, you're always a pretty good dad, but you were a little stressed. It's been a couple years now. I've been kind of waiting you to go back to the old you. I said, I'm not going back there. That guy died because I found out that I was his beloved, and his desire is for me. Our disciples, a pastor's congregation, should feel as if the pastor looks at them and says, you are my beloved, and my desire is for you. Our children ought to walk around and say, you know what? I mess up. I make a lot of mistakes, but you know what? I am my Father's beloved, and his desire's for me. He wants me to win. And so if we're going to love, how do you do it? It says, how faithful is the love of the Lord. It never ends. I remember one time I was talking with Pastor David. We were just having a session and of hanging out and just talking. And he looked at me and he said, Mike, I said, what? He said, love never fails. No matter what, it never fails. So I've been blessed to be raised, I know this, by an amazing man. And I wanted to skip over to it. I might go to it right now and then come back to this. All right? My father was such an example of grace, such an example of a person who never brought up your past failures, who always believed you could accomplish anything you put your heart to, who always somehow found time to be with you, who worked 13-hour days sometimes to provide for the family. I remember we were talking the other day, and he said when he first got married, he had to have two jobs. And his second job, he worked at an auto parts store for $1.50 an hour. Or it might have been $1.05. All I know, I was just shocked, $1.50 an hour. He did whatever it took. This is before the man even knew Jesus. How is that possible? Because see, some of you are sitting here with fathers who don't know God. And some of you are sitting here with husbands who aren't saved. And you're wondering, like, this message doesn't apply to us because they're not Christians. My father was such an example of the Father in heaven before he even met him. Why? Because he was created in his image. Do you realize all that God stuff is sitting inside of every single one of you already? You just need to surrender to Christ so you can let the good stuff out. Really? I can't remember. And maybe it has happened. I cannot remember one time my father's ever reminded me, ever, of a failure in my life. Do we believe that when we ask the Father to forgive us, He chooses to not remember our offense? As far as the east is from the west. So when you go, man, Lord, I am so sorry. You know that thing I did yesterday? I did again. He said, what thing? But I have young people come to me all the time. It's like, they said, I feel stuck. Like, I can't move on. I understand I shouldn't have done that one thing at home. And I know it's wrong and it's sin. And I've asked my parents to forgive me. But they just keep bringing it up over and over and over and over again. Well, I got news for you. That's not how God treats you. It's not. It's just not. So, how do we love? How do we never stop? One, you have people in your life that remind you, you know, I don't think you're loving. Someone said to me one recently, that was a little sarcastic, Mike. And I says, no, that was a lot sarcastic. Do you realize that when you set your target on this thing, the Holy Spirit has a tendency just to nudge you and remind you so you can repent quicker and move on? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to go slow this, and we're going to wrap this up because my grandson's here, and he's about done. You know you're preaching the right amount of time if a six-month-old, how old is he now? Seven-month-old can hang in there, all right? 1 Corinthians 13:4. Come on, Max, a few more minutes, all right? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. God is calling us as men and women to be loving parents. God is calling us as men and women at Harvest to love the people we worship with, and to love the people we work with, and to love the people in our neighborhoods and in the marketplace. But what does it look like? Love is patient. I just don't know when my kid's gonna get it together. Neither do I. Love is patient. I got a feeling, I don't know how redeemed angels are. I'm not sure how the whole thing with angels works. There's got to be time to look at Jesus like, is he ever going to get it? And Jesus is like, I don't know. But I am patient because I love him. Love is patient. Parents used to tell me, you know what? They're faking it. I said, what do you mean? You give altar calls and they come down here and they cry and they get saved and they repent the whole thing. You know what? And then like within 2 weeks, they're living like the devil again. They just didn't even mean it. I said, yeah, they did. No, they really meant it. Have you ever not sinned only to commit that same sin again at another time in your life? Oh, great, then you just never really meant it. Seriously? A righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up again. I asked my wife what her favorite parenting verse was today. She's still laying in bed and kind of groggy, so it really wasn't a fair question. And I said, you only can pick one. She says, forgive 70 times 7 in a day for the same thing they do wrong. It's a good answer. That's not one of my verses, but that's a good one. Love is kind. You know, some of us growing up, our parents weren't kind. They were harsh. Kind. I was so blessed this morning, and so was, oh, by the way, Leif Hetland, I don't know where he is in the world, but or what time it is, wherever he's at. He said, hello, greetings to Harvest this morning. Because my spiritual daughter is here, and her newest son, Leif, is here. And she wanted to get a picture of me holding my spiritual son and daughter's fourth child. And I'm holding little Leif, and she takes a picture, and I send it to him. I said, man, your name is going to cover the earth one day, Leif. Cover the earth. And he wished me a happy Father's Day. Love is not jealous. One of my kids recently asked me, Dad, how long did it take you before you made this kind of amount of money in 1 year? I said, I've never made that kind of money in 1 year, son. Ever. Oh, I gave away which one it was. Sorry, I meant kids. I shouldn't have said son. But the point is, everybody's like, hey, can I get a loan? But the point is, guess what? We have a saying in this house that we want our ceiling to be the floor. For who? Well, we normally are implying our spiritual sons and daughters. Here's the other thing, though. That's how we should feel about our kids. But you know how much harder that is becoming in our society and our economy for our children to exceed beyond us? And how hopeless they're feeling? But where they could rise up in faith and begin to believe that they can accomplish greater than what we've ever done, if we would speak that into them and tell them, you can do this. You can do better than me. It says, love is not boastful. You know, sometimes the kids really don't care how far you had to walk through the snow to go to school. I'm just saying, they really don't care. In case you're thinking they're really interested, after the 20th time, they really, really, really don't care anymore. All right? Love is not rude. You know, I think he could have put a disclaimer there and just put men most of the time. But seriously, it does not demand its own way. All right, now wait. If we're supposed to love our kids, we have to find a way to apply this. Love does not demand its own way. And still parent. Is our Heavenly Father still parenting you? How many still want the Heavenly Father to parent you? But he's not demanding his own way. Because that's not love. You know what Jesus said? Here's a bunch of rules. Get at it. No, I said, just follow me. And the longer you're with me, the more you'll become like me. And the more you're like me, the more you're going to be like the Father in heaven. Goes on and it says, love is not irritable. Anybody have a little ouch? As dads, as moms, love's not irritable. If you're irritable, go to the house of prayer or go to the whisper room. Spend some time with a God who's not angry, mad, and irritable. So you can leak him all over people. I asked a girl at work one day, I said, are you having a good day? Are you happy? She goes, yeah. I said, you should let your face know. And that was when someone says, that was a little sarcastic. I said, no, that was a lot sarcastic, and I'm really sorry. I apologized. It keeps no record of a wrong done. We need parents. I need to be a parent who chooses to not remember and not keep a list and not bring it up. And that when my son or my daughters fail, it's as if it's the first time they've ever done it. And I love them through it. I remember one of my children got in trouble one time. Cell phones, they can be a wonderful thing. Sometimes they, what do we call them, butt dial? And they don't know it, or purse dial. And your kid says they were going so-and-so, and their phone calls the last person they called, and that was you. And you're listening to the whole conversation, and you're listening to the cars, and you know exactly where they're at, and they weren't where they said they were going to be. And you sit down and you talk to them when they get home, and they say, "Dad, I'm really sorry. Forgive me." And I says, "I forgive you, and I'll never bring it up to you again, except for today." I bet none of you know which one of my kids it was. But the point is, do you want God to keep reminding you of all your mess ups? No. Then let's be Christ-like. Let's get rid of the list. In fact, I didn't suggest you make a list of everything you don't like about your kids. Make a list. Today. Then like encounters, burn it. Say, okay, gone. Get rid of it. Do we still burn those sin sheets at the encounters? How many of you, that was a powerful moment watching that stuff go up in flames? Knowing the Father had sent his Son and wiped your slate clean. You know what? Maybe one day we'll have a youth Sunday again and we'll get a barrel out there and we'll let you make your list and we'll all go out there as families and we'll burn the list. Kids, if you love your parents, there ain't no list. Ephesians says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. You know what that means? Don't push their buttons. All right? I asked my teens, how fast could you spin one of your parents up? 5 minutes? One girl said, I could spin him up in less than 3 seconds. I mean, I could get my parents into orbit by saying one thing. I said, good. I'm glad you know that. Don't do it. But kids, it says, obey your mother and father. It says, honor your mother and father. You know what obedience is? I'm sitting in the timeout chair because I'm being disciplined because I was bad. But on the inside, I'm standing up. You just can't see it. That's not honor. Honor means your heart is matching your behavior. There's a difference. Honor. I remember one particular moment with my earthly father where I was asked not to do a certain thing, but my sister was a snitch. And she'd always tell on me. And I got home that night, and I saw my dad sitting in his chair, brokenhearted. That was enough for me. Do you remember the tears at your encounter when you were thinking about the cross and what Jesus did? I didn't want to disappoint my dad. I wasn't afraid of punishment. I knew how much he loved me. I wanted to honor him. But I was a messed up teenager, and it was really hard. He could have beat me that night, and it would have had less impact than seeing the tears in his eyes and the disappointment that I'd messed up. That made me want to live right. Next, it goes on. It says, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. And then verse 7, love never gives up. I had a parent tell me one time, my son is 39 years old. When is he going to grow up? I don't know. But I will tell you this, no matter how long it takes you to grow up, God ain't ever giving up on you. Never, ever, ever. Love never loses faith. You hear that? What is faith? Somebody give me Hebrews 11 definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. A conviction, right? A conviction of things yet seen, not seen. In other words, that's having faith in your kids. I sure can't see it right now, but because I got faith, I can see who you're going to be. And that's what we should talk about. It's always hopeful. Always hopeful. I don't know how God's always hopeful with some of us. Definitely me. But he is. Are you always hopeful? And then finally, it endures through every circumstance. Some of you are going through very painful circumstances right now in your families. It hurts. It's hard. Some of it, it's kids up. Some of it's parents down. But love, real love from God, it will endure through every circumstance. Just stay in the game. Don't quit. Keep believing. And finally, Dad, this one's for you, because I want to honor you. You're full of grace. Full of mercy. You are always faithful to us as kids. You always believe the best in us. You never reminded us of wrongs done. My spiritual dad told me one time, I was going through a difficult season, and I'll close with this, because some of you are thinking, I don't have kids. And some of you are thinking, I wish I didn't have kids. Love endures all things. You can do it. But he said to me one day, and he was bringing correction to my life, and I was feeling a little discouraged, and he could tell, and he stopped. He says, Mike, you don't get it. I believe in you. And if I could choose any other youth pastor in the world, I had to pick of the whole world, I would never choose anyone but you. Do you know, my mistakes became like that compared to one comment from Pastor David as my spiritual father. That can happen in our families. Your kids are feeling like this because they know they're messing up. But that word of encouragement, of if I had to pick any other kid other than you, I'd still pick you. And the coolest thing, the wisest person in the whole world, the created universe, he picked you to be with me. Amen? We have an opportunity to change a world. Not through some fancy programs or stuff. We just need to love really good. Walk in mercy. Yeah. And that list thing, I wasn't kidding. Some of us need to go make a list of everything we don't like about our parents and everything they've ever done wrong. And some of us, our kids. And then we need to have a campfire. Get some marshmallows, some graham crackers, some chocolate bars. We call them s'mores up north. And have a party. Let's pray. Father, I thank you on this Father's Day for your love. Every one of these verses is how you feel about me. I want to thank you today, God, for fathers. Even fathers who had weaknesses and faults. Fathers are your idea, God. Thank you for them. I personally thank you that I had the joy of a father that played hockey with me and coached me and took me fishing and hunting and believed in me. A man full of grace and mercy. I thank you for that. Lord, I speak that over every single person in this congregation in Jesus' name, that we would be people full of grace, full of mercy, a 1 Corinthians 4 through 7 kind of love. Because anything outside of that isn't quite love yet. Help us get there. And if you see us through Christ as righteous, may we see every other believer we ever meet in the world, regardless of what they're going through, like you see them through Christ as righteous. And Father, outside the walls of this church, may we change the world's view, even if it's just a little bit in Chesapeake, of what the church is really like. That it's not a place of judgment and criticism. It's a place of mercy and love. Help us grow and be more like you, because you are amazing, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you move, do you know how easy it is for you to give your life to the Father? Say, Lord, here I am, take me. Teach me how to live for you. Thank you, Jesus died for me. Amen. Thou art saved. Now follow him. Sorry I didn't have you fill out a card. Have a great week. I love you.